The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, January 3, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. How you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Coming up on today's show, Happy New Year. It's our first show back and our first show of 2019, and Donald Trump wouldn't shut the hell up during the entire break. Thank you for nothing.
Bob.
Shut up. Shut up.
Bob.
No. Enough of that. What? The 116th Congress is being sworn in right now as we speak. And Donald Trump should be terrified, but he's probably not because Trump always makes things worse for Trump. And the great T-Rex David Ferguson is here today to kick off season 9 of the show. We've been doing this for almost 9 years now. Holy crap. But the holidays are over. You're done buying gifts for others. Now's the time to reward yourself with some goodies from Amazon.com. When you do, make sure to use our Amazon link just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Use our link and it'll take you right to the front page of Amazon where you shop as normal. But because you used our link, we receive a small commission on some of your purchases. Meanwhile, you can also use our Chris Lavoie Banded Masculine link beneath the logo to shop for man-scented candles, including my favorite fresh-cut grass-scented candle. And thank you for shopping through our Amazon link. And now, for 2019, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It should be me down there.
I got him.
Hey, Ben. Ben, I gotta hand it to you, pal. You got the whole network here in an uproar. Why, they're shipping bicarb to the Justice Department in crates. So that's why this little call is just between you and I. It's not going out on the air. Listen very carefully, Ben. How would you like a 3-year contract, guaranteed, a cadre credit line, and a beachfront condo? Sound impossible? Ben is a standard deal for a network stalker. And I know real talent when I see it, Ben. And I just hate to see you get canceled tonight when you could go the distance. Say the word, Ben, and you can be the one doing the stalking. What do you think?
You cold-blooded bastard. I'll tell you what I think of it. I live to see you eat that contract. But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine! Ah!
Bob Seska!
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show!
Okay. We recorded about 15, 20 minutes of the show. My goddamn computer froze. And so we're starting over again.
God damn it!
Because we can't have nice things, can we? Not starting the year off on a good note. All right. It is the Trump Crisis Day 714, 670 days until the 2020 presidential election, and it's day 12 of the Trump shutdown. So we got to talk to my friend T-Rex. Let's do it. T-Rex! The great David Ferguson is here. Hi, Dave.
Hey, you know, I've got to ask one thing.
Okay.
What is Trump's endgame here?
Titties!
With what?
The shutdown.
Oh, what I don't know.
What is he going to do if he...
He's, you know what? He's doing this. He's shutting down the government because he wants the fight. There's no actual problem with the wall. There's no wall. Whether you want to call it,
I think he's actually doing this because he saw Ted Cruz do it and thought it was neat and wants to get it in before they push him out the door. Like he's like, yeah. Okay, I've like had a military attack, the tank the stock market. You know, he's like running down a list of things he wanted to do like while he was there. He's like, I read it first one a whole bunch of times.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, you know, he wouldn't leave me alone the entire break. And that's how paranoid I am. I'm thinking that he wouldn't shut up from like day one of the Christmas holiday all the way through. It kept
Bob.
Fuck you,
Bob.
Oh my God,
Bob.
Go away,
Bob.
It's Christmas Eve.
Bob.
It's Christmas Day.
Bob.
It's New Year's Day.
Bob.
He just wouldn't shut up. Constant. I mean, he said Stanley McChrystal got fired like a dog, and he referred to Stanley McChrystal's big dumb mouth.
He hates his dog like a dog.
He just hates dogs.
Nothing he ever actually says like a dog has anything to do with how dogs act or behave or anything that happens to dogs.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with this guy, first of all, that he doesn't like dogs? Donald Trump hates dogs. And that's, to me, that says everything you need to know about Donald Trump. Like, for example, even the Grinch, you know, over the holidays, I tweeted something along these lines. Even the Grinch liked dogs. The Grinch had a pet dog. Trump won't even go there. Trump doesn't care about anything. I mean, he was tweeting all about, he had that crazy cabinet meeting yesterday where everyone was kissing his ass. He had to go around the whole table. The whole process is, okay, now everyone's going to kiss my ass. All right, we're going to start with you, Matt Whitaker. And then, of course, Matt Whitaker started kissing his ass by saying, what did Whitaker say here? He said, oh, sir, Mr. President, I will start by highlighting the fact that you stayed in D.C. over the holidays. Oh, so sad for Donald Trump that he didn't
brave and noble sacrifice of staying alone in D.C. with his Diet Coke button. You know, like, the privation.
But I
slept in a cardboard box in the West Wing.
I know. I mean, but he clearly enjoyed it because he wouldn't shut up. That's all he did was tweet and watch TV and yell at his television and annoy us throughout the entire goddamn thing. To the point where I was like, get this man a goddamn golf club, for God's sake. I would actually prefer that he played more golf. I just 24/7.
Talking.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps him from governing. You know what I mean? It just keep him as far away from governing as possible. If that means constantly playing golf, fine. Go to Bedminster all you want. Do whatever the hell. Scream at your television 24/7. I don't care. As long as you're not damaging the country and ruining things all the time. That's what I prefer. And of course, that all he did was annoy us. And you know, we were talking about Elizabeth Warren on the first attempt to record this show today. And I want to dig into that because there's a distinct attraction to the idea of fighting Donald Trump on his own terms. Like, let's hit back against Donald Trump by, you know, the Democrats, especially the ones who are thinking about running for president, flooding the zone with their own shit, constantly keeping the news away from Donald Trump. But first of all, they're not going to be able to do it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say they're not going to be able to keep the news cycle away from Donald Trump. He's always going to find a way to dig in unless, of course, they seize the initiative and do it in a way that isn't necessarily damaging to the country the way Donald Trump is damaging to the country. So if they can find a way, if the Democratic House and, of course, the Democratic presidential candidates can figure out a way to seize the initiative, but without contributing to Trumpism, you know, without borrowing this whole process that Trump himself uses.
Well, part of it is just being a disciplined messenger and understanding that you've got to generate fresh content every day.
Yeah.
And you've got to come up with new ways. If you have to say the same old things, you come up with new and metabolically exciting ways to describe them.
Right.
I knew everything that Elizabeth Warren was going to say in her Rachel Maddow interview last night before she said it.
Mm-hmm.
I've just seen her on that show enough times to know that she's going to talk about leveling the playing field and everybody in America deserves a fair shot. I mean, and it's all true.
Yeah.
And in no way do I disrespect Elizabeth Warren's ideals or her commitment to the American consumer or her, you know, desire to help people not get trapped by the predatory lenders and other snares of our consumer society. But she's got – I just know from – years of writing headlines and trying to produce journalism for people to read online and click on that you've got to say something new. We could not – I mean, people ran from Elizabeth Warren stories like they were covered in dog poop. Like, I mean, really, like I just – same with climate change stories and God, what were some others? Gamergate stories. There were things that like the readers would just not – click on.
Yeah, like climate crisis.
No matter how much, you know.
Climate crisis stories. That's the one that I always end up not getting any readers for. Like, I'll publish a bunch of shit on climate crisis, and everyone's like, oh, what? And they don't want to look at it because it's so I think it's because it's so negative. I think it's because the prognosis is really shitty for what's going on with that.
And there's nothing we can do.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
We just sit here helplessly and watch, you know, the major corporations just like scoot around the laws. And yeah, but just with this thing, though, people got really exercised with me last night. Like I had said that Elizabeth Warren's wearing the wrong color of nail polish and it's therefore unelectable.
Yeah.
It's not – it is legitimate criticism to say that someone's messaging is not great in 2019 and has to be powerful enough and plangent enough to punch through all the noise.
Yeah.
All she had to do was sit down and say one new thing last night that I could make a headline out of or that the journalist could use to hook people. Like, you know, just say, the way things are going, I don't know who I'll be running against in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
period.
I mean,
that's something that you can make a headline out of and people will click on it and then they'll read that and then you can hit them with all of the economic policies and the substance and the meat and bread of what she's saying.
Yeah.
But when she's just saying the exact same thing she said a year ago when you could write the same article – about her appearance last night, and the only difference is the line that says now that she's announced for president, her candidacy for president is the only difference. And the last time she was on there, there's nothing that readers are going to click on.
Right.
There's nothing that people are going to talk about tomorrow on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump has learned that even if he launches a stinker, even if he says something that is so outrageously stupid that it's immediately refuted and everyone points and laughs, the pointing and laughing is still spreading his message. He has virally infected the messengers. And when we sit here and moan and groan and scream about Trump all day, we are just acting as his passive carriers.
Yeah, but it's, of course, a gigantic conflict because at the same time, we got to pay attention to what the president's saying. You know what I mean? I feel like I shouldn't be paying so much attention to him. But at the same time, I mainly cover the presidency and I always have. So therefore, I kind of have to.
Yeah.
So he's weaponized that. And I think the key, though, is to, again, to turn the tennis ball machine back on him, to seize it and turn it around back on him. And I'm
screw him. He's going to be irrelevant in a few months anyway. Turn it back on
well,
and
I
Carlson.
Hope. Yeah.
You know, like I really admire what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is doing in terms of – well, actually, I think she's just trying to do her thing and the right just keeps taking runs at her and they keep beclowning themselves again and again. And Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity are giving her millions of dollars of free publicity and she just got sworn in today.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is she's serving as a fantastic lightning rod for those guys where, fine, go after AOC and attack her all you want. I mean, she's obviously in a very safe district. She's not under any threat of some sort of Republican Trumpian upstart to unseat her anytime soon. So sure, feel free to attack away Fox News Channel. And meanwhile, we're going to do all kinds of other things that and that's the key to all of this is going to be a Democratic House that continues to pass legislation that's not necessarily geared toward impeachment, where on one hand they're pursuing impeachment, but on the other hand, they're also passing legislation that is going to that they can go back to their people and say, hey, look what we've done. Or the press undeniably cannot go, well, that's all the Democrats are doing is impeachment. Well, no, that's not going to be the case. They're actually going to pass some shit. And that's obviously a good thing. But at the same time, I'm so encouraged by the idea that the initiative is going to be seized here mainly through all of the congressional hearings that we're going to be watching, because it's going to be a year of C-SPAN. We're all going to be watching nothing but C-SPAN for the next year, at least. So in that regard,
C-SPAN became riveting.
Yeah, I know. And of course, this is going to be something that's going to steal the spotlight away from Donald Trump. And it's going to get him to the point where he's reacting rather than making us react to him. You know what I mean? And that's also positive. But with Elizabeth Warren,
think about it, if Elizabeth Warren had sat down on Rachel Maddow's show last night and said, I don't know who the Republican candidate is going to be in 2020.
Yeah.
Today, they would be like, I mean, it would be wall to wall. Like, he would be screaming at her on Twitter.
Yeah, attack is legitimacy.
No way
right.
that I will not be the candidate in 2020. And he'll call her all kinds of names. Mm-hmm. And like, and in the meantime, he just, that goes out to all his followers. They're like, did she say he's not going to be the candidate in 2020?
Yeah. Well,
you know? And like, it's, I wish that like Democrats would learn how to weaponize messaging the way that the far right has learned.
Yeah.
You know, if they can make us repeat it, we're doing their PR.
Well, it's easy for them because they've just spent, many, many decades just making shit up. And so you can You can
but
use
now,
that.
Like it's, I was saying, you know, every time they put up that graphic of AOC and her terrifying socialist agenda of common sense things like healthcare and free, you know, an angel gets its wings every time they retweet it, you know,
right.
Someone's like, those are actually pretty cool things that I want. It's just,
I so agree.
Bravo for her.
Yeah.
And I think that more people could learn from that example. It's like, go to your principles, hew to the progressive line, and say what you really, really mean instead of triangulating and trying to say things that are going to be committee approved and like proved, like pollsters like this and blah, blah. You know, it's speak your truth.
Right.
Which I think was what was so powerful about Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke and – God, what's his name from Florida? It's just fallen out of my mind. He didn't win, but he was going to be the governor.
Oh, Andrew Gillum.
Andrew Gillum.
Yeah.
All of them spoke a progressive truth and were very much not, I don't want to say unfiltered.
Yeah.
But they were not in any way wishy-washy. They didn't feel squishy.
Right.
And this is what has bothered me about Democrats for years, is all this, there's all this constant hand-wringing and all this messaging that has to be like filtered and consulted and research grouped and focus grouped, and just speak the truth of your ideals.
Yeah.
And the people will come. And it's, you know, the Democrats run from their base. It's infuriating, and it's been a fact of life since I've been alive that when, you know, the right gets energy from its base and the left just like tries to pretend they don't know them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, you know, I think the base, I don't know exactly what the base is. I think the base, I tend to believe the base is not the progressive far left. I think the base are, I wouldn't say moderate, but I would say definitely center left African-American women. That's the base of the Democratic Party in a very literal sense. Yeah.
We get a round of applause for them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Doug Moore and yeah.
Yeah. And I think like the David Sirotas and Glenn Greenwalds of the world believe that they're the base of the Democratic Party, but they're not the base. I mean, Sirota is supporting a guy who's not even a member of the Democratic Party. I mean, so you can't be part of the Democratic base, quote unquote, if your guy isn't even a Democrat. If he's a independent,
is it Kasich or something, or what's he?
Well, yeah, I think it's Bernie Sanders is the guy. You know, David Sirota supporting Bernie Sanders, and Sirota's like at the center right now. Of course, Sirota just recently, I guess, got unfrozen from his cryogenic chamber and has reemerged somehow onto the political scene. And is somehow relevant again. I guess it's simply because he's doing the bidding of Bernie Sanders trying to attack Beto O'Rourke, and now he's going after what? He was going after Elizabeth Warren or someone else. Joe Biden. I think he's starting to attack Joe Biden now. But suffice to say, I mean, going back to what you were saying about Elizabeth Warren, though, you know, she has been quite a fighter over the years. And, you know, in fact, we joke about it on the after party about Elizabeth Warren's tone of voice sometimes, where she seems very, you know, she's very cautious and she talks like this. But at the same time, suddenly she comes out and says that Donald Trump is a real son of a bitch, that motherfucker. And, you know, you almost want to hear her say that, right? Like, but she almost goes there. Not quite, but still, she has the capacity to really throw down against Donald Trump if she wants to. I don't think last night was fully representative of what she can do. And we're talking about the Rachel Maddow interview, right? And
I felt like, you know, and people, I was, you know, kind of live, not live tweeting it. I was on Facebook arguing with people who were calling me a bad progressive and saying that I was, you know, I want Honey Boo Boo to run for office then, because I feel like, you know, we need someone who can play the media like a fiddle. And but we do. That's just the facts of the matter. It's like if all of a sudden the Allies in World War II were like, you know, the Germans have outpaced us in rockets and gas and other kinds of warfare that we just think are ungentlemanly. And so we're going to fight with cutlasses and biplanes.
Right.
Because that's the thing to do. Because that's, you know, fair.
Yeah. But, you know, wall always works. A wall.
Wall is wall.
Wall works.
Wall. It's wall. It's big. It's heavy. It's dumb. It's wall. It's wall. You can't see through it like thumbs. I don't know.
I don't even know. It's steel slats. Steel slats. I don't know what
steel slats. Okay, do you remember, we were talking about this when David Letterman went through this thing where he would say beef fat. Like, really? He was talking about McDonald's and it was like a thing. Like, they were talking about, they were trying to make healthier choices, but they're still frying everything and beef fat. He was just, he would bellow the words.
Yeah.
Every time I hear steel slats,
yeah.
I hear David Letterman in my head, steel slats!
Yeah, right, right. Well, I mean, it's the see-through wall. It's the invisible wall that Trump is talking about. So,
well, it's just, I mean, when the people are throwing the bags of drugs over, you don't want to get hit on the head.
Right.
So we have to be able to, it has to be transparent.
You have to be able to see because you don't want to get hit in the head with the drugs, that are flying over the wall, apparently.
With calves the size of cantaloupes, according to Steve King.
Right, and it's not the wall. It's just wall.
It's now. Wall now.
It's wall. So the drugs flying over wall. it's hard to say. You know what? It's really difficult to speak in Trump sometimes. To speak in that broken language.
Fundamentally break a part of your brain to be able to, you know, it's the verbiage is so repetitive and it's so hypnotic and it goes nowhere and it's just, it's maddening. It's kind of like, I imagine that ultrasonic sound must be for rats. You know, they have those devices that like
that you plug in
animals from your home with sound.
Yeah.
It must be what it's, you know, it probably broadcasts like in rat Trump.
Right.
You know, they run screaming.
What did you notice? One of the things he did, that was just constantly
Bob.
Ah, fuck.
Bob.
No. No, 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 no.
Bob.
Shut up. God damn it. The whole break. And one of the things he did.
You're just tormenting yourself with that. It cracks me up.
I know. Well, that's what it's like. I mean, every damn day. I just want him to go away. I want him to stop being in our faces. His giant orange pumpkin head in our living rooms 24/7 has got to end. Enough is enough. We should never. And I, you know, my area of concentration in my political science degree was the American presidency. And so I love following the American presidency. I love following presidential elections.
As far as it's ever fallen.
Yes, but I mean, the president should never be in our faces this much. Never, ever, ever. Never was the president intended to be in our faces like this. But there he is. There he is. And of course, he's destroying.
Flapping, leathery, puffy,
his face with his over-articulated mouth and his ridiculous. I can't keep waiting for his teeth to fly out, and that never happens. So it never culminates in anything interesting. It's always just him like misspelling loser by putting two O's in there, like so.
I more and more identify with that Arnold clip from the top of the show.
Which,
just like, I just want to reach through the screen and crush your head.
I mean, that clip. The reason I played that clip, I'm glad you brought that up, is because the Running Man. And that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from 1987 is set in 2019. So there you go.
Dun,
that's
dun,
the reason.
Dun.
Right. Yep, yep.
There you go.
And so so that's why I played that clip.
I just imagined a buddy movie of like you and me as an Amazing Race team, except that it's Amazing Race meets Running Man.
Right.
Right. And everyone who like doesn't win the competition dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, horrible. I'm screaming at you while you're trying to read a map.
I'd love, you know, one of these days I'd love to do an entire show using nothing but the Arnold voice. Like, we both talk in the Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
Everyone's Schwarzenegger impression is different.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like a thumbprint. It's like everyone's, you walk at the people on the street and be like, give me your best Arnold. They're like, it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
They're, you know,
stop whining.
The classic, you know, I'll be back.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, mine is, my favorite Arnold impression. Is just going around doing the Arnold yelling, Arnold grunting, Arnold struggling to do something. I'll just do it around the house. I'll try to open up a jar of pickles and I'll be struggling to open the top of the jar.
There's this thing called Shatnering where you like whatever you're doing, when someone goes Shatner, you immediately do it as if you're being pulled violently by a gravitational force in another direction and you're struggling mightily to make the coffee like must pour.
So
water. You know,
So what did you think about Donald Trump went to Iraq for the first time? You know, never ever before in a combat zone, but there he was. And then
is that where he had on that green jacket?
Yeah,
I mean, I hate to be like
the gigantic green jacket.
Is that what I had on that awful outfit? But I mean, really. Like, I saw the footage and was like, how does he do that to clothes, to ordinary clothes?
I know.
Like, that was, like, 2 days ago, that was an ordinary collapsible plastic tent.
Yeah. Well, before.
And now look at it. Its ignominy will go down in history forever. Because, I mean, everything he puts on looks over added somehow.
It's because he's he's a big fat ass. That's the problem. And then the thing was, usually, and I imagine, usually when the president goes to a combat zone, or any president, they're wearing a bulletproof vest or something. You've got some sort of protective garment on. I think Donald Trump was wearing 3 bulletproof vests. So you have already like 290-pound, 300-pound Donald Trump. And then you add 1 vest, 2 vests, 3 vests, and throw that giant green jacket over top of it.
God, it was just hideous. Like, and
Stay Puft Marshmallow.
But also when he was
man.
Down in the hurricane zones, you know, with the crisp white shirt that, like, makes you never want to wear a white shirt again for the rest of your life somehow. It's just too – it's everything he touches is just horrible.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he went over there – talk about things that he touches turning horrible. I mean, he went over there and exposed the fact that there were Navy SEALs that were deployed where he was. I mean, he's just completely.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, he tweeted out a photo.
I completely disengaged for certain points during the holidays. The whole thing, because I had to. I just was like, I'm going to be with my family now and just turn all this off. And it was,
boy, lucky you that you have the ability to actually do that. You know, I'm so paranoid that I actually think when Donald Trump is constantly flooding the zone, that he's doing it just to flummox me. It's just constantly.
Bob.
That, whenever he does that. It's like, oh, fuck, why is he ruining my day? He's ruining my day, my personal.
It's a little light.
I know.
Right next to the Diet Coke button that goes on whenever you start to get too comfortable.
That's right.
Like my brother's cat, every time he sleeps for more than 6 hours or so, the cat comes and bites him on the toe to see if he's dead and it's time to leave his face.
Is that really? Does the cat really do that?
I don't know that that's actually his intention, but my brother swears that's what he's doing.
That's
so
weird.
And on the toe when my brother's like, every time he lies still for more than about 6-7 hours, the cat's like, ooh, is it today?
Yeah.
Well, I get to eat his face? Is he dead? Oh, and then he bites the toe and my brother screams. He's like, oh, he's not today.
Well, if there was if there was a cat in the White House, I don't think Donald Trump would even recognize that it's a cat. He's like, "There's a space alien. What is that little floor person doing?" He's like, he wouldn't right. a floor person. He would have no idea what a pet or a domestic animal would look like. You know, did I already cover
that? Dogs do that thing there where they look into your soul.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I've always like found people like they're, you know, as a cat owner and who's had a lot of cats through time and has been very involved with them, I admit. I never bought wine for my cat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my friend of mine said. He's like, Elizabeth Warren is the perfect candidate in the world for people who buy wine for their cats.
You know, I like Elizabeth Warren.
My friend didn't say that. I said that. But I don't mean it. It's not true. But I do mean that, like, the way she breaks down policy and stuff is excellent for a world where everybody reads The New Yorker and has been eating hummus since 1988.
Yeah.
That ain't where we live.
See, I like Elizabeth Warren, but that joke makes perfect sense to me. So Nancy Pelosi just received the gavel. We've got that. That has just happened. The 116th Congress is being sworn in as we speak. You know, in fact, Kimberly Johnson is out right now for the swearing in of David Trone, who's our new member of Congress here where we live.
Nice.
By the way, the Democrats, this is good news. Democrats are going to introduce legislation requiring every presidential candidate to release 10 years at least of tax returns in order to run. I think that's a great idea. I think it needs to go one step further, though. I think this needs to be a constitutional amendment. I think all of the Trump era reforms or the post-Trump reforms should come in the form of constitutional amendments.
Do we really want that on our Constitution, though?
Tax returns?
I mean,
yeah. I think we should.
Like, I feel like the Constitution deals with issues of personal liberty, like the foundation of like what it means to be an American.
Yeah.
Although, I'd rather see like laws to deal with Trump enshrined somewhere less sacred.
Well, that's true. But I think once we're down there, I mean, we have, you know, laws that get overturned all the time by the courts. I mean, if it's just a law, then there are ways around it. You know, it's as evidenced by everything that Donald Trump is doing. You know, there need to be constitutional constraints to once and for all seal these giant Trump-shaped holes in the wall. You know, as he bashes through every single one like the goddamn Kool-Aid man, we need to seal those up with something that's going to last. And I feel like constitutional amendments are really the only way to get that done. Meanwhile, there was Mitt Romney, who published this op-ed slamming Trump, although,
well,
I don't know. I don't know if it was
sort
much
of kind of slamming, saying maybe if he goes way, way, way too far, I won't vote with him. But I mean, justices and all, that's fine. You
know, yeah.
Mitt Romney strapped a dog to the roof of a car. I don't want to hear anything from that man ever again.
Well, you know,
I wonder if he told it to calm down and enjoy the ride. That was the tweet, by the way, that just broke my brain over the break. The calm down and enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah. Tweet. Yeah.
I don't know how many people saw that.
Yeah. It's just like everybody just settle down. It's not that bad. I'm doing good things for the country. So calm down.
All
enjoy
the haters,
the ride.
Calm down and enjoy the ride in 2019. And I'm like, isn't that exactly what a date rapist or someone who's going to like skin your face and wear it as a mask would say? You know?
Yeah.
Calm down and enjoy the ride.
He's so utterly delusional in so many different ways. I mean, didn't he say something today about his gigantic wins and his historic victories in the election?
I feel sorry for that guy who works for the Toronto Star, who seems like a very nice man. I think Daniel Dale is his name, who's like the fact checker guy.
Yeah.
He keeps track of the lies.
Right.
And he says part of what tracking is it, he tells the same lies over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. They cycle around like ping pong balls in his head, or like what are the lottery number balls, you know? Like,
yeah.
They just pop up every now and then, like, wiretaps! You know? And he just spits it out of his mouth.
Well, you know, in a second.
This Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made up story. Yep.
Yeah, he won't shut up. I mean, throughout the entire break, it was more on that.
This Russia thing with Trump and Russia.
Yeah, right.
I hate that I have that memorized.
It's so weird. He's so weird. Why does he say Russia? There's no R at the end of Russia. Sorry.
It's weird. It's just more of his mangled, you know, brain damaged garble speak.
Like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just.
Well, the marriage between the RNC and the Donald Trump campaign, or the Donald Trump re-election campaign, continues. We're going to talk about that in just a second.
That's something I wanted to talk about.
What's that?
Oh, well, just, you know, people were talking about the Republicans and how there was this divide.
Oh, right,
Mitt
right.
Romney said these things, and his niece, who's, you know, works for the RNC, was mm-hmm. like, well, you know, we stand by the president. And I'm like, well, they worked that out over New Year's dinner. I mean, come on. He was like, you do your job and be a good soldier for the RNC, and I'll take the hit on this because I'm a senator. I mean, right. It doesn't take it anyway. I just sometimes the willful obtuseness of our mains, you know, like of the Chris Salizas and Jake Tappers and Daniel Milhouses, the Jared from Subways of the world, is like all those guys, all the guys in Washington look like Jared from Subway.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this as a big horse race. You know, it's just.
Yeah, and you know, didn't Savannah Guthrie asked Nancy Pelosi a question today that just so incredibly pissed me off. Because it just, you never see these questions asked of Donald Trump. It's always the Democrats. Democrats are always the ones who are expected to take responsibility
explain
for all
things.
These things. Yeah, so Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show asked Nancy Pelosi this question. Now we got to talk about Patreon here in a second. But Savannah Guthrie asked Nancy Pelosi, if you don't compromise with Trump, then why isn't the shutdown partially your responsibility as well?
Fuck you!
Seriously, that is... Wrong,
okay,
wrong,
no, but wait,
wrong,
wait,
wrong.
Wait, wait.
Okay.
This is, I mean, if you're the leader of the Democrats, you come to the interview armed for exactly that question.
Yeah.
Because that is the number one question. This is what everyone's going to have to say at the water cooler tomorrow to explain why they believe in the, you know, it's, why isn't it your shutdown? And I hope that Pelosi, and I'm sure she did, because she's a very astute politician, she had an answer in her pocket, which is we are just letting the president step on the rake and hit himself in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what were we supposed to do? Move the rake?
Yeah.
She's like, we're doing everything we can to make this end, and he won't budge because he's created this crisis and doesn't know how to get out of it.
But the problem is, no matter what she says, no matter how they react, Trump is always going to continue to blame the Democrats, even though he accepted full responsibility for the shutdown on television, on live television, in front of both Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the entire press corps. So to me, that whole question is a non-starter.
What Pelosi should have said is she should have turned around and said, well, do you not remember the conversation we had 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people in the media that act like they wake up blank every day.
Well, let's just not be stupid about this, because it's Donald Trump triggered this shutdown. It has nothing to do with either the Democrats or the Republicans on the Hill. This is 100% Donald Trump's problem.
I'm telling you, it's just another ride at Disney to him. I swear. He saw Ted Cruz do it and was like, I want to do that. That seems like a really powerful thing. like shutting down the whole government to get your way. Like, but, it's just, like I said, it's one of the things on the board he's got to do before he gets kicked out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of Tom Cruise, he said at that ridiculous press gaggle yesterday in the cabinet room.
Oh, God, it was so weird.
I had a meeting at the Pentagon with lots of generals. They were, like, from a movie.
Super hot generals.
Yeah, better. They were so sexy. They were so sweaty and buff and ripped. They're better looking than Tom Cruise and stronger. I don't know why he gets stronger. I'm not sure where that came from.
I mean, were they arm wrestling at the table? were they performing feats of strength in the Situation Room?
Yeah.
How does he know, like, Tom Cruise's resting heart rate or, you know, like, stronger than Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
But, I mean, was he walking up and feeling their biceps?
Absolutely. 100%. That's totally what he was doing. Massaging their...
It's the most amazing room ever. It was just the most amazing.
And
room,
then,
you know
and,
what I mean?
Well, on top of all of that, he was like, I've never seen more computer boards. What the fuck is a computer board? I saw computer boards. They were all these guys. They were so ripped and they were so beautiful. And then they had these computer boards. What the fuck is a computer board? Oh, God damn it.
I have a bit of Trekkie trivia for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because you said computer boards everywhere. And I thought about it must look like the Bridge of the Enterprise, you know, but... Have you ever noticed that on the new generation, people will be having a conversation in front of a pipe or something or a piece, and it says GNDN?
Oh, I never noticed that. What is that?
Goes nowhere, does nothing.
Ah, okay. I had no idea. Okay, let's talk about Patreon here. Each of our shows.
We're going to start
with a little bit of math here. And I know math is always the best way to start out a commercial. But here.
I'm so bored. Oh, my God. What are we talking about? math and I stopped listening.
There you go. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. We're downloaded by at least 20 to 25,000 people per episode of the show, right? We currently have around 850 Patreon subscribers who support the show, and in return, they get all kinds of bonus content, including the ultimate edition of the show without commercials, without bonus conversation at the end, as well as the increasingly popular After Party podcast on Friday. But if everyone who downloads the show today, right now, over the next couple of weeks even, just subscribe for $1 per month. You can do the math. Not only would the show be fully funded out the wazoo, but then you gain access to one of the fastest growing communities of listeners anywhere, our exclusive Patreon club. So right now, go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Subscribe, why don't you? I mentioned the community. There's a tab on our Patreon page where you can actually post your own things. You can post your own blogs there if you sign up at $1 a month at least. Plus, you get all kinds of additional bonus content. For example, I posted a movie that I made back in the early 2000s about, it was a mockumentary about the war on terrorism. It was basically about, remember all the knee-jerk patriotism, all the over-the-top patriotism?
God, it was hideous.
After 9/11, everyone had like those flag displays in their yards.
There was this especially sleazy used car guy on TV here who would finish his commercials. God bless America.
Yeah, everything was God bless America.
So offensive.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's not God and
I may see, I now in order to vent, I made an entire feature film about that particular phenomenon. It's called The War Effort. I link to it on our Patreon page. Lots of exciting things going on our Patreon page. One thing you got to bear in mind, though, if you're signed up, make sure to go in and double check your payment method, because we had like 25 declines this month, which is kind of high. So if you have your payment method,
credit cards expired,
that's part of it, I guess. Maybe some funds are depleted because of the holidays and so on, but make sure to double check your payment method. And thank you for supporting the show. Right now, go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show and subscribe. Okay, there we go. That's it.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show.
Now, welcome back to our Thursday show, first one of 2019. And David Ferguson T-Rex is here from the T-Rex Report. That's patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. You have any new shows coming up?
I did some great shows while you were off duty, by the way.
Oh, really? You did some shows over the holidays?
Roy Adroso. From Aliku blog. From
Who was it again? Who was it? Did he have
Roy Adroso, also for the Village Voice. He was writing about the right wing for a long time, mm-hmm. The Village Voice.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, Roy was great, and I interviewed Eric Bowler from formerly of Media Matters and Share Blue, who's now out doing his own thing.
Yeah, Eric's great.
Yeah, he was actually a really fun interview, although we kept getting cut off, and I had to do some editing to make it all go back together, but that's what, you know, real professionals do with their podcasts. They have to edit them.
Well, let's
that I kept meaning to bring up that I kept going, is that, did you see Newsweek yesterday where some Bush aide said that he expects Trump to resign in February?
Yeah, I saw that. I hear that shit all the time. I don't believe any of it. I mean, remember
I do believe that this will end in a resignation. I stand by that prediction that I made. Of course, when I first said it, I thought it was going to happen by September of 2017, but it did not.
Well, that's the only way out. That's his only recourse right now. Donald Trump's only way out of legal jeopardy right now is to cut some deal with Mike Pence where Donald Trump resigns and then Mike Pence becomes president and then Mike Pence pardons both Donald Trump and all the Trump kids, except for Barron, who doesn't really exist. Who's just a hologram, apparently, because you never see Donald Trump with Barron ever at all.
He never mentions him.
No.
I think he's forgotten him. He's forgotten he's there.
But I think that's the best way for Donald Trump to get out of this. I mean, it's a simple get out of jail free card, and he can do it. But instead, he's just going to keep making things worse for himself because that's what he always, always does. And, you know, meanwhile, the RNC is making everything worse for the RNC. It's like because they've married the Donald Trump reelection campaign to the RNC. Now the RNC is cursed with the Trump disease, which is constantly undermining yourself. And
coming, I wonder, with revelations from the NRA and Butina and the whole. Of course, I think we've just lost Butina when that guy got arrested yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wait, right there. We're gonna get to that in just 1 second because we're gonna stick a pin in that one and come back right back to it because that's a big story. But the fact is that the RNC has now merged with the Trump reelection campaign, and they're gonna share an office. They're gonna share personnel. I mean, the RNC literally wants to die. I mean, it just seems to me as if this is 100%. Like a suicide pact.
It really is like they're moving in with like a, you know, IV drug user.
And
being like, you know, we're going to have lots of unprotected sex, but it'll be fine.
It's absolutely insane what they're doing. It makes no sense whatsoever because the RNC would just do well to stay neutral in all this. One of the other things they were thinking about doing was the South Carolina Republicans were thinking about canceling the South Carolina primary on the Republican side, of course, obviously. And that would be to probably keep Nikki Haley from putting up a primary challenge to Trump. Because, of course, Nikki Haley would need South Carolina, her home state, in order to pick up those delegates. But the other thing that's going on is there's an RNC member who wants to change the rules in order to endorse Trump now and declare him the de facto nominee, thus heading off any primary challenge. This is, Maggie Haberman tweeted this out. This is an article in the Washington Examiner. And this is to thwart a potential Mitt Romney primary challenge. Probably John Kasich too.
It's such an admission of weakness on their part.
It really, really is. I mean, let's eliminate the possibility of having any primary challengers by just canceling the primaries. I mean, it seemed to me as if there are not a lot, but enough.
Is that even legal?
Sure.
I guess you just have to run as an independent then. But it just doesn't even seem like.
Well, that's the weird thing. I mean,
stupid decision.
Yeah.
In terms of dividing the vote and go on.
Well, I mean, the Republicans can easily do this. There's no law that says that they have to hold primaries. They can nominate their candidate however they want. They just have to face their own people in the process. And I imagine that there are people on the Republican side, even Republicans who support generally Donald Trump, who would object to the idea of just sidestepping the entire primary process. I think there are a lot of Republicans, even ones who are telling pollsters that they approve of Donald Trump's presidency, who would just absolutely welcome an alternative to Donald Trump in the primary as a way to cut bait and say, you know what, fuck all of this. This is only getting us into deeper trouble. This guy is completely.
When have they ever shown that presence of mind?
Never, never.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. I think that's the mistake we all make on occasion in following this presidency is that, suddenly the Republicans are going to see the light and they're going to turn against Trump. Well, you know what? It's going to take a hell of a lot for that to happen. I mean, Donald Trump, I don't know what he would have to do to get the Republicans to turn against him. And even in the context of an impeachment trial, which is surely going to happen, because I think the Democrats are going to impeach him on the House side, then, of course, the Senate has to do a trial presided over by Chief Justice John Roberts, who Donald Trump has criticized on Twitter. Smart guy. Trump always makes things worse for Trump.
I don't think he's going to get that far. I think it's too complicated for him. He's going to just be like a big baby and just wah. But like I said, I keep underestimating his will to power and his venality and the fact that his desire to hold on to this, no matter how much damage it does.
Yeah. Donald Trump gets off by having these ridiculous shovel fights that you see on cable news all the time. He thinks that's
all
what
he knows how to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, because his entire thing is based on watching Fox News Channel. I mean, his entire plot, everything that he believes in politically, it's just because he's watched Fox News Channel. Just like your crazy uncle or my crazy uncle or everyone's crazy uncle who watches nothing but Fox News Channel around the clock. That's what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump has been completely and totally brainwashed. And
did you see Chris Hayes last night? Like, even keeled, unflappable, even Chris Hayes was just kind of like, after that cabinet meeting, he just had one of those like existential crises. And you're just like, the drunk at the end of the bar as our president. You could just see that it was just, he was visibly kind of just rattled by just how nutty. Like, I could be a general. I would have been a great general. Except, you know, I mean, just like the whole, just who is this guy? It's so. I think that, like, as a generation, we've been traumatized by this.
Well, it's so difficult to know how exactly to peg this from moment to moment. Because on one hand, in order to remain sane, we've got to make fun of him and we've got to make light of it and we've got to make jokes about it. And that's how we get through it. But at the same time, it is serious shit that we're talking about here. This is the presidency and this is national security. I mean, the greatest national security threat in the United States is Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump with his unsecured cell phone, with his goddamn phone calls to world leaders without getting any clearance from anyone, with his discussions with overseas despots like Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin and Erdogan and the mess that's going on in Syria, which is a whole other story. I guess this is a good way to segue into what's happening with Russia.
Is he going to go through with it? Are we going to withdraw from Syria? Really?
Yeah.
Is that actually the thing? Like, oh, God.
Yeah, think.
Sure, but God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, normally we would applaud something like that, but if it was done carefully and for the right reasons and under the advice and consent of people who understand military conflict in the Middle East, that would be one thing. But Donald Trump
is... But thousands of people are going to die.
Exactly right. This is abandoning basically one of our only allies in the Middle East, which is the Kurds, you know, not only in Syria, but also in Iraq. And we're completely abandoning them so that Erdogan can go in and slaughter the Kurds. Hey, how's that for reaching out and making friends, huh? Winning hearts and minds. Jesus Christ. Okay, so you mentioned Maria Butina a second ago. And this,
So she's currently sitting in a prison in Northern Virginia, and they've got her in a cooperation deal. And then out of nowhere, this random guy gets arrested, assuming that he actually is a random guy and not an agent, has been arrested by Russia in Russia.
Yeah, Paul Whelan.
Accused of spying.
Yeah.
This is something they used to do in the 70s, apparently, is that when one of their people that was a high-value operative was in danger of being exposed, they would just randomly arrest an American and accuse them of spying, so we'd have to swap them.
Right. Well, and that's
78, I think.
So you think that what's going to happen is Donald Trump is going to give the Russians Maria Butina in exchange for Paul Whelan, and he's going to maybe this was a setup in order to establish that deal.
Why can't we just give them him? It's like, here, we'll trade you Trump for Paul Whelan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where it seems like Vladimir Putin is setting up Donald Trump in order to do that. Like, here's...
Do you think there was ever going to be a Trump Tower Moscow?
Do I think that there was ever going to be one?
Did you think the Russians ever had any intention of following through with that, or was it just a shiny piece of bait? Because I think it was just a lure. Like a shiny piece of bait to make him bite down on it and then they'd be compromised. They're just like, we'll build you a Trump Tower here. Yes, it's a great idea. It'll be Moscow with penthouse apartment for Putin, you know. Like, and they just like But it's just a question of just their tactics. Like, was the whole thing an op, or were they actually at some point planning on building that? I don't think they were. I think the whole thing was they were like, how can we hook him?
I think it was a legitimate thing. I think the Trump Tower Moscow project was actually going to be a real skyscraper in Moscow. In fact, it would have been the tallest building in Russia. And with Vladimir Putin.
See, do you see how that's like tailored to hook him? Like, they just completely were like, how can we like hook in that asshole?
I said,
tell him it's going to be the tallest building in Russia. I totally think it was just a Russian intelligence op. There was never going to be a Trump Tower in Moscow. It was all exactly tailored to hook him. Like what can, how would we hook a total Philistine?
Yeah.
We would tell him we're going to build a big dick of a building. It's the tallest in Russia and put his name on it.
Yeah.
And he'll just like be heaply jelly in our hands, you know, or putty.
Right.
I think the whole thing was an op from the very beginning.
Well, it could very well
be. That's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I do think
that. Just look at it, and it's so perfect for him. Like, ooh, look, a big shiny thing with your name. It's going to be the tallest building in Russia.
Right.
And he's going to be like, oh, the tallest in all of Russia. You know, it's just like, it's like the little brat from Queens, just like his eyes just lit up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's entirely possible that was the case, but I think. I think in order to answer that question, it would be helpful to know, and I think this is maybe be in Mueller's report, which is why did the deal get canceled and who canceled the deal? Because Trump signed a letter of intent. So it was Trump's intention during the campaign to move forward with Trump Tower Moscow. The question is, why do they drop it? And why did they drop it?
Never gonna happen. That's what I think. I think it was all a big trap.
Yeah. Well, if it was Russia who decided to walk away from it, then maybe it was a trap. But if it was Donald Trump who walked away from it, that's a different story. I don't know why he would have, but whatever happened, it happened somewhere around the time of the conventions, wasn't it? Wasn't it in June, July of 2016, when the entire Trump Tower Moscow deal fell apart.
Sending the pleading, kind of pathetic emails, like, "Are we still on for this? Hello, is anyone there? Remember?" Like,
right?
Totally. It just everything I think about points to just have been a trap all along.
Yeah, yeah.
But since we're flooding conspiracy theories, let's talk about the mysterious sealed versus sealed case that Jody thinks the Fort Norton Corporation, Jody Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen. From the Bunker podcast from -the-bunker.com.
There you go.
I love Jody. I'm going to plug her every chance I get. she thinks the Fort Norton Corporation that's being subpoenaed by the government is Fox News, and that is very intriguing.
Interesting.
But it's a state-owned company is the thing, which I don't think can be Fox News. I think that has to be like Deutsche Bank or Vignette Konum Bank or her... or one of the other Russian, I don't know. What do you think? Have you learned anything over the holidays that like gives you any insight into sealed versus sealed?
Interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking VTB. That was my initial guess. And it could also be Vinesha Konambank or VEB. And I just said the full name because I like to say the full name. Vinesha Konambank.
I love saying Vinesha Konambank. it's like that's some gymnast last name.
Well, here's, I mean, I don't know. That's
Vinesha Konambank.
That's still an outstanding question that we don't have the answer to just yet. I mean, it could be any number of those things. I think it's a safe bet to consider that it could be the Bank of Cyprus. I mean, there are a number of different opportunities or different options.
Money laundering stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what was really fascinating is Kurt Eichenwald, who I first got to know back during the summer of Snowden. He posted this amazing tweet that everyone has been sending me links to. And fortunately, I had already seen it. And thank you to everyone for sending me the link anyway, because I was able to remember to talk about it today because of all of those emails with the link. But Kurt Eichenwald, this particular tweet thread is pretty amazing. I'm going to read through some of this now. Okay. Because this lays out an interesting story in which Donald Trump was actually repeating Russian propaganda as it was being published by Sputnik. And this all happened simultaneously during the 2016 election. Okay, so this is, again, Kurt Eichenwald, number one. Before the year is out, the evidentiary link between WikiLeaks, Russian hackers, Kremlin disinformation outlet, and Donald Trump. In 2016, I received a phone call from someone in the intelligence world telling me to keep an eye on Sputnik that day. I did not know what it was. I was told it was a primary propaganda site operated by Russia to spew disinformation to affected global democracies, including the United States. Sometime before I received the call, WikiLeaks had obtained John Podesta's emails and then pushed them out. One of those emails was then manipulated to make it appear as someone it was not. Words from an article I wrote were placed in the mouth of a Hillary Clinton ally, making it look as if even her confidants were secretly blaming her for Benghazi. It was a fraud. That fraudulent document was pushed onto Twitter by, remember these guys, @10_GOP, Tennessee GOP, which posed as the Tennessee Republican Party. It was not. It was a Russian front. Mueller has since identified 10_GOP as an account operated by Russian hackers. We all know this now. It is part of an indictment, see attached article. The actual Tennessee Republican Party is a different account. I was told in confidence by the intel guy that the bogus document was first pushed out. Now, this tweet from 10GOP, the fake Russian-controlled account, was one of the billions that day. One of billions that day. It was traded among a group of different Russian accounts. In comes Sputnik, a Russian-controlled news agency identified as a disinformation platform. The writer of the Sputnik article has said that he obtained the bogus email from 10GOP, a Twitter account that Sputnik writers were following for some reason. The manipulated email was then used as the basis of a news article in Sputnik alleging that a Clinton confidant held her accountable for Benghazi. Okay, so you get this. So Sputnik is pushing out this fake story that a Clinton ally is blaming her for Benghazi, right?
Yeah.
Since I knew
plagiarized.
Yeah, exactly. Since I knew the email was bogus and that the words they were quoting out of context were mine, not the confidant's, I began to write a story. Now there is Sputnik, a Russian disinformation site, 10GOP, part of the illegal Russian hacking effort, and the original Reddit account that pushed the document out onto the internet for the first time. As I was typing my story, Trump was at a rally. This bogus document had been on the internet for a couple of hours. The Russian Twitter accounts were pushing it around, apparently trying to make it go viral. Sputnik wrote about it, and then Trump read the bogus email out loud to his rally. Again, an email manipulated by Russians, pushed out by Russia, printed by Russia into Trump's mouth. In a couple of hours, this one piece of information got from a Russian hacker to Trump. I contacted my original source and got a few things clarified. At that moment, I understood the magnitude of what was going on involving 10GOP, although I agreed not to disclose the account name. I wrote the story, Newsweek printed it, and a firestorm was set off. A number of other journalists who apparently made no attempt to contact any intelligence sources considered it absurd that anyone would think Trump campaign had any connection to Russia. Nice. Skepticism based on personal belief and not reporting transformed rapidly into a coordinated defensive attack. The New York Observer, owned by Trump's son-in-law, went after me, as did a number of other groups close to WikiLeaks or Trump. In fact, according to one article about this, a number of the journalists attacking the story and me were in direct communication with each other by email, coordinating their efforts. This attached piece is from the Daily Caller Foundation, which, whatever you think of the Daily Caller, was the only publication to do actual reporting on the matter. Soon after, Sputnik launched an absurd attack on me, accusing me of offering bribes, lying, etc. This only ran in Sputnik, and almost immediately after it was published, the Trump campaign emailed the link to the story to reporters covering the campaign and others. Read that again. A Russian propaganda outlet attacked an American reporter, and the Trump campaign almost immediately started pimping the story to reporters. The Daily Caller Foundation is one of those that disclosed it, received the email from the Trump campaign. Okay, so this is actually from official documents. So here's where we stand. WikiLeaks obtained hack Podesta emails. Russian propagandists manipulated one email to make it say what it does not. Russian Reddit account pushes it onto the internet. Twitter account Mueller says in is in on the Russian scheme, 10 GOP, starts tweeting the email. Sputnik Disinformation News Service picks up bogus email from 10 GOP and writes bogus article. Within an hour or so, Trump is reading the bogus email at a rally. I write the story exposing. A group of journalists coordinate attack on me by email. Sputnik launches an attack on me, accusing me of irrational crimes and lies. Trump campaign immediately emails link of the article to a Russian disinformation site, to reporters, along with accusations against me. The New York Observer, owned by Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, picks up the Sputnik attack and goes after me. Reporters couldn't see it back then. The importance of this... And back and forth link between Russian hackers, disinformation outlets, and Russia and the Trump campaign seemed unbelievable to be considered as true. But with the revelation by Mueller that 10 GOP was part of the Russian scheme, someone must ask Trump, where did he get the bogus email? From 10 GOP, from Sputnik, or from some third party? And why was his campaign pushing stories from a Russian disinformation site to attack the story? And then he adds an addendum here. Whenever I write about these kinds of issues, my feed is swarmed by Russian trolls. So enjoy watching them appear. So that is Kurt Eichenwald on Twitter with a pretty interesting story there, huh?
But you could watch it happen during the election. I mean, you could hit like they would launch one of their like Breitbart would put out a story, and then you could just go and like search. On Twitter, and there would be thousands of bots simultaneously launching that link.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah, and we see it all the time. And you know, with Sputnik, you know, every time I see that, Sputnik also has a radio network, and they have an affiliate here in Washington D.C. And one of the radio shows on Sputnik in Washington D.C. is hosted by Lee Stranahan, who I used to do a fucking podcast with.
Yeah.
How do you do? You know, he's on my LinkedIn page as giving me an endorsement. I want to get him off my LinkedIn page. How do you get someone off of your LinkedIn?
I'm not sure you can like actually like remove someone's endorsement.
Yeah.
For a moment point out that like this, you know, Trump still appears to be like doing big fat rails of Russian propaganda straight off the mirror.
Yeah.
Because at that bonkers
well said.
Cabinet meeting the other day, he was talking about the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and totally using Russian talking points about terrorism and all this stuff that was, you know, been disproven.
Yep.
But was totally reciting the Russian line on it word for word, like he'd been prompted by Putin himself.
Yeah.
So
he actually said that the Russian invasion of Afghanistan was justified because the Mujahideen was apparently going into Russia and committing acts of terror in Russia. So Russia invaded Afghanistan. And that's why the Soviet Union became Russia. That was his explanation. That was Trump's I have questions.
They were justified in going in, but it was terrible and it bankrupted them and it created the rebirth of Russia. So yay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically it.
It's almost like a choose your own adventure novel or, you know, like that story, like you fall out of a plane. Oh yeah. No. But you land in a haystack. Yay. It's got a pitchfork in it. Oh no. But you missed, you know, like.
Right. Oh, holy God. Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. That's about how it works.
God.
Okay, so that's that. I think what we're going to do here is because my computer is being spazzy today, as it always is, I should have taken some of the holiday to bring my computer in and get it repaired. But I'm not that bright. But I mean,
it's a foreshortened, short but sweet visit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, considering we did 20 minutes before we started this version of the show, we've done a lot of shows so far. So I think we got to wrap it up.
I promise you, Bob Seska, you will never run out of bullshit from this particular T-Rex. Oh. And just keep turning the crank and I'll just keep talking.
Well, thank you. That's so helpful, especially on a day when I'm having computer difficulties. So I can fight with my computer, do a show, and I know that you're there to fill in all the gaps. But one thing I want to talk about here on the postmortem show coming up on our Patreon page is Kevin McCarthy. Because Kevin McCarthy is now the official minority leader. Yeah, the leader of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. And Kevin McCarthy can't talk, so we're going to recap We're going to recap some of Kevin McCarthy's greatest hits.
Good.
Yeah, he can't talk good. And you know what? He got, last I saw, he got a bunch of votes. He was second place to become House Speaker. Of course he was.
If that's who you want as your speaker, someone who can't talk.
So exactly right. Thank you for that punchline. I needed that. Okay.
That's, anytime.
That's the show today.
Keep it pithy.
By the way, brand new Buzz Burbank news and comment today at buzzburbank.com, also at realmnetwork.com. And if you follow Buzz Burbank news and comment on iTunes, you can find it there too. Jody Hamilton's at from-the-bunker.com or at fromthebunkerjr on Twitter. Please support Jackie Schechter at investigaterussia.org. She is now
here on my show.
Yeah. Jackie is basically self-financing that whole thing now. InvestigateRussia.org/donate. Go and support Jackie Schechter at InvestigateRussia.org. Stephanie Miller Show is at StephanieMiller.com. Kimberly Johnson's podcast is Patreon.com/StartMeUp. Molly Jong Fast is coming up this month, and a whole lot of great guests on the Start Me Up podcast. Also, you can follow Kimberly at author Kimberly. That is with an extra E in Kimberly. That's L-E-Y. Don't forget the extra E for excellent. David Ferguson, of course, is at patreon.com/TheTRexReport. So go and support David Ferguson's podcast. Also on Twitter at TRexTheSea.
Come on down.
And finally,
I thought a great interview with Roy Hidroso on Christmas Eve that I'm very proud of. So awesome. Y'all come get it.
All right. See you on the postmortem. Bye-bye.
Bye.